Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 58, and it's our first episode of 2022. Today, we want to chat about a topic that often comes up in conversations with our colleagues and online discussions, growing your online network. But before we do that, let's share what's new with us and what we're looking forward to this year. So I will start. I'm feeling very refreshed after a long holiday break. I had family over from France. We saw you in San Diego with the kids and visited Legoland. That was really fun. And I'm really excited this year to travel more, hopefully. Yeah. I have several trips on my schedule that I'm really looking forward to, including very excited about this, a trip to the UK for the ITI conference where we'll be presenting together, and then a couple of trips domestically here in the United States. I'm also hoping to visit family in France and Russia, so very ambitious, I think, but hopefully it will happen this year. And it's also a transitional year for me personally because my youngest child will start public school in the fall, and I am excited about it, and I'm already thinking what it will mean for my schedule, because my schedule will change in August when he starts.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to organizing AT's annual conference in Los Angeles and visiting Los Angeles. A lot of fun stuff. Hopefully this year will be very different from the two previous ones. What about you?
Oh, let's hope so. Oh my gosh. So what's new with me? I'm always excited at the beginning of a new year. I am that person who's excited about Mondays. So a new year for me is like doubly exciting. I have a lot of things coming up for my businesses this year. I say businesses plural because I have a small agency business, and I also have the side of my business that is basically training and teaching and my blog and so forth. So I've got a lot of topics coming up and some new things there. I will be teaching a course in February for training for translators about Google Ads, if you're interested in that. So that's coming up soon. And yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm excited about sharing that. And then also, I'll be teaching an SEO course for my own, on my own website, this quarter as well. So that's something, that I'm looking forward to sharing. A lot of people have been asking me, when am I going to teach that one again? Mm-hmm. So I think it's time to revamp it and share that one. And then let's see. Yeah, travel-wise, I'm excited to go see my dad next week. I have not seen him in a while, but haven't been home to see him in more than 2 years. Mm-hmm. He came to visit us last August for a short stay, but we're going to go there because he's turning 80. So we're going to have a big, fun party for him. And everybody's fully vaccinated and boosted, and my daughter now has been fully vaccinated too because she's old enough now, so that's exciting. And otherwise there's just a lot going on as usual with my work with the American Translators Association and then client work, trying to expand different areas of my business a little bit this year and working on some new content to share. So, and also I'm excited for the podcast because we've got about 6 months planned out and we've got a lot of fun things coming up.
Exactly. Lots to look forward to. Okay, back to today's episode. We all hear about the importance of having a strong network for our business. And in some of our previous episodes, we talked about ways of networking during in-person events. So today we thought it would be great to chat about growing your network online and some do's and don'ts that we personally subscribe to. Networking can be equally daunting, whether you're just getting started in a profession or you're already an established translator or interpreter. You can feel uncertain about meeting clients on their turf, attending online events, or using email or social media platforms to connect with clients and colleagues. And of course, if you sometimes struggle with imposter syndrome or consider yourself an introvert, you may dread the very idea of networking. Plus, we all have good days and bad days when we just don't feel like doing this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then there are all kinds of other things to consider, like where to find networking opportunities online, whether to network with clients only, or is it wise to also think about networking with people who work in your field? What can you bring to the table and how can you utilize your network efficiently? So today we wanted to share our thoughts and tips on this topic and maybe help you grow your online network as well, or make you feel more comfortable doing it.
Yeah,
I think network has just been tremendously important to me. Mm-hmm. Ever since I started freelancing, I see it as not only a way of finding clients and spreading the word about what I do and my professional brand, what I stand for, what I can offer, but it's also my support system. Mm-hmm. It's, and again, thinking both in terms of colleagues, because I do find it extremely important to network with colleagues and clients, existing clients, or just past colleagues, people I've worked with in the past in a different setting, you know, before I started working as a freelance translator. And a support system is so important, especially when you work alone or you have your own business and you don't have, you know, a big team around you.
Yeah.
Because we all have questions. We all have concerns. Sometimes we need help. So a network can be a source of information, learning, and support. And it's just been really helpful to me. Mm-hmm. I also think it's a great way of learning what other people are doing and seeing potential opportunities to collaborate or support each other. Just congratulate someone on something they're doing or maybe find an interesting idea or an article or resource that they have shared. And in terms of clients, it's a good way of learning more about your clients and what is important to them and how you can support them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a strong network is also important for referral opportunities because people can mention you if someone is looking for help on a particular project. And you just feel that you don't go it alone. Like you're never alone. Yeah. When you have a strong network. You feel like you always have someone to turn to, something to learn, and you always have opportunities out there. So what are your thoughts on this, Madalena?
I agree. I think some of us don't put as much importance into our network as we should. Mm. I think a network is extremely important to have. And not just, you know, your overall network, but within your network, you probably have even smaller ones if you want to think about it that way, right? Because not all of our networks are completely connected. And that's the beautiful thing of it. So yes, I think everybody's network is extremely important. And also, I think you mentioned this, you know, definitely also thinking about in different times of your life, how it can change and adapt. Yeah. I know that my network was very different 10 years ago than it is now, or even 5 years ago. So thinking about not only how your network benefits you, but how you benefit your network, I think is extremely important to consider. For all the reasons that you said, including, you know, referrals and things like that, but also just having a support system and having a community that you can turn to when you have a question or a challenge or, you know, like you said in the last episode, when you had that freeze in Texas last year, March of 2021, and you said, you know, I needed to call somebody to help me take over a project for a client or with something I was working on a committee in ATA. Yeah. And I think that's extremely important because without our network, it would be really difficult to raise your hand and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I need help. Even though we're so used to working alone, right?
Yeah.
But there are so many reasons that a network is a useful thing to have. And not being alone is actually a really important thing, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, extremely important. I agree with you. Okay, so where do you go to establish or grow an online network? And we're talking about online networks, by the way, because we all work from you know, remote places. None of us tend to work like in an office together. So that's why we're saying an online network, because that's where we can connect most easily with each other. Mm-hmm. So where do you go to establish or grow one? And what platforms or ways of connecting with people should you think about? So to answer these questions, it's important to know what the purpose of networking is for you and for your business and who you're trying to connect with. And that goes hand in hand with the dilemma of networking only with clients or including your colleagues in your network as well. I don't know that dilemma is maybe the best word, but like the question that comes up, mm-hmm. Some people find it a dilemma. And I have heard this from colleagues where they'll say to me, like a colleague I might be helping to improve their LinkedIn profile, they'll say, but I'm too connected to my colleagues. And I often answer that like, it's good to be connected to your colleagues, but yeah. Maybe it's not the only connections you should be making, right? And usually mm-hmm. they've come to that conclusion themselves too. But some people think like, well, then maybe I should just like disconnect from all of my colleagues on LinkedIn. And I'm like, wait. Let's not do that yet. There are many good reasons to be connected to them there and have a good network of colleagues on a platform like LinkedIn. Not least of which is the fact that when people hear from you or see you on that platform, they're reminded about you. And so the next time they hear about somebody who might need a service that you offer, they're more likely to think of you because you're top of mind. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when you think about what's important or what's the purpose of networking for you and your business, it really helps to answer a lot of questions. So like, let's say you want to gain new clients this year. Well, one maybe reason to have a good network or to improve your network is to get more referrals, because all of us know referrals are a huge source of business for us in this world, right? So maybe that's something to think about. Mm-hmm. And it's not unheard of for you to say, hey guys, I'm working on these goals this year and I'm looking for clients in these specific areas, or I'm looking to pick up two more clients who need ongoing translations for X, Y, and Z, right? When you tell people exactly what you need help with, mm-hmm. people step up. It is so important to stay connected, not just like on a daily basis with like the niceties of, hey, congratulations or happy birthday or whatever, things like that with your network, but also to really tell people how they can support you, because people are happy to support each other. But if you don't tell them, they will never know. Right. Yeah. So I think that's key as well. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's super important. And I don't think we should be so black and white about like, oh, should I only connect with my clients and not connect with colleagues at all? It's just not, it right. doesn't serve you at all. I mean, and then the second piece, of course, is what are your goals and how networking can support you in mm-hmm. achieving these goals. So that is helpful in then thinking, okay, so if my goal is to work more in such areas as localization, transcreation, SEO, translation, mm-hmm. then where online can I find the network that will support me in mm-hmm. this goal? You know, people I can learn from, people who might be potential clients, people who might help refer me to opportunities, and people I can help along as well. So kind mm-hmm. of feeling you're in this welcoming circle of people who are working on the same topic, or if you feel you have similar goals. So that's something I think about anytime I evaluate an opportunity to, say, join an association or a social media group, or if I find like a website that might seem like a good idea to join for networking opportunities, you know? And I make it a point to purposely connect with both clients and colleagues in various ways through these methods like associations, social media groups, and other online platforms.
Yeah. And you make a good point. And I want to point mm-hmm. that out, because I remember very clearly when we started this podcast, mm-hmm. you joined at least one group, maybe more, of people who edit podcasts and things like that, like audio editors. And I thought, that is such a smart thing to do, right? Like, not only are you growing your network, but you're learning from these people and you're learning about what kind of tools they use and this and that. And I think you do an excellent job, of course, but but I think, you know, we often don't think of these things. We just think, I'm in my bubble, the work should come to me, or I'll figure this out somehow, or I'll put this off because it just seems too big right now. And I thought that was such a cool thing to do. And I think that that's mm-hmm. you know, something that we should share more often when we do these things. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been really helpful. Just learning some tips and tricks. Not that I want to become and, you know, make it a career, but just seeing what people who do this kind of work discuss and what tips they have for newcomers and how we can improve the workflow there. So that's been good. And like when I remember first too, when we started recording the podcast, I didn't do as much work in localization and transcreation and other areas of my business that have really grown in the last couple of years. And what was helpful there is to think, okay, what, you know, what is it that I want to do more of? Where can I find people I can discuss this with and find resources that are reliable? Because of course we can, I mean, you can Google anything and everything, but how reliable are these sources and what can people who already work in this field recommend to you? So I've joined various associations and groups like Women in Localization, for example, and some local ATA chapters or some client-facing associations where I can find, for example, communication professionals or people who work in advertising or training, you know, e-learning. So that opened up a world of opportunities and information for me. And then, of course, you have to, as you mentioned, it's not, it's really important to think of your network in terms of what can I bring to the table as well. You cannot just be there to consume information and access resources and information. You have to bring something to the table as well. And when you first join, it feels like you don't have a lot to offer, but there's always something that, you know, you have in your experience or your perspective or resources or information that you have found that will be helpful to other people as well. So let's face it, you can spend all day networking with people online, but it's probably not the best use of your time to do that all day long, because we all have so much on our plates and we have to do other work as well. So how do you grow your network in a consistent and strategic way and feel that you're doing it regularly and, you know, spending time doing that, not just when something, you know, is happening and you find, suddenly need help or resources. So here's a starting point, an idea to do an audit of your online presence and all the platforms you're currently using. And think about those related to memberships and associations and professional groups, social media, and other online spaces where you network with people or find resources that you need, information you need from colleagues or clients. How are they working for you? Have these places been helpful in maintaining and growing your online network? And does it make sense for you to continue being present there, or do you need to change something about your approach? Because there are so many opportunities out there, and at the end of the day, it's also, it represents either a time investment or a financial investment to join these professional networks. Some are free, but there are some that are, that could be very valuable and helpful, but they cost, they have a cost attached to them. It could be an, you know, a subscription or a membership fee. So it really makes sense to evaluate that from time to time. And for me, I found it that it makes sense to be a part of a national professional association related to my field of work. So in my case, it's ATA, American Translators Association, and at least one local association and one or two client-related associations or groups where I can network with clients or people working in a particular field or specialization that that I am interested in. And before I renew the membership, I look at my activity in this particular group or association and check my files to see, have I gotten any clients or referrals through this, how many training events I attended, how often I interacted with colleagues in this space or association. That's when email folders come in handy as well, because you can search for particular topics or people. And then evaluate if it makes sense to continue, if it's worth the time investment or the financial investment, if I still feel attached to the idea of this space being helpful as part of my network, or reevaluating and trying something new. And there's no shame in, you know, maybe not rejoining an association or a group and trying another one. Mm-hmm. And then looking at my goals as well, I also think, is this membership or presence in line with what I'm trying to achieve? How can I utilize it better, maybe in the future if I do decide to stick with it? What can I change about the way I engage with colleagues in this space, or the things I share that will bring me closer to these goals? So, Madalena, what works well for you in this respect?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said. And I actually just chose not to renew one of my membership mm-hmm. association memberships this past year because I wasn't able to put the time into it that I wanted to and to network much there. And I also wasn't taking advantage of things like the benefits that are associated with it. So I thought I can always go back to this, right? And I think that's important to remember. You can always go back to something. Something that I like to do is I like to, like you said, sort of assess what I'm using, but also what I'm not using. And so if you want to think of an audit that way and say, what are my goals? And start there and say, okay, well, what platforms or associations, if you want to think of it as associations or groups, whatever it is, support the type of things that I want to achieve in my business. And mm-hmm. so something I hear from people when I'm teaching my courses and stuff like that is like, oh, I should be on Facebook or I should be on Instagram. And I'm thinking, not necessarily, right? It really does depend on who your clients are, and if they're looking for somebody like you on those platforms. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, don't put time into it, right?
Yeah.
Or if you want to be connected to colleagues on some of those, that's a great idea. You will find them there, right? Mm-hmm. And some people do find clients on those specific ones that I just mentioned. I'm not saying you can't. I mean, there are people who can find clients there, but many people will find that they'll find more of their clients on a platform like LinkedIn versus Instagram. But there are mm-hmm. cases for, you know, certain specializations where you could do very well with Instagram too. So it really depends. Yeah. But like if you're looking to be connected to colleagues and that's your goal, well, then that's perfect. You know, make sure that you are connected there. But also, like you said, make sure that you're not overspending your time on these things and like making that in, you know, entire days and entire afternoons when you have other things to do as well. So I like to mm-hmm. limit my time on any kind of networking platform. But I also stay in touch with people off the platforms too. So I'll follow up with somebody via email, or I have one client who writes segments for that podcast called Grammar Girl. Mm-hmm. She writes segments for them. It's so cool. And so sometimes I'll hear one of her segments and you don't know until the end, right? When she shares, this was written by so-and-so. And I'll email this person and say, I loved your segment on whatever. And so that's not just like thinking of a network, but it is touching base with a particular client. So I mm-hmm. like to think about it that way too. I like to keep my own network that I already have very strong in certain cases, right? And I'm not trying to get business from her or anything like that. I just want to touch base with her and say, I really appreciate what you did. And so I think for me, growing my network and making a stronger network is also about keeping those bonds strong. Like I said about the association that I decided to drop this year, I just don't have the capacity to work on that. I don't know if that's like a Scorpio thing. I heard somebody say the other day, like, if we're in, we're all in. And if, you know, we don't do anything halfway. So it's a kind of thing like that. Like, I just don't have the time for that one. When I do have the time, I'll probably go back to it, you know? Mm. But it's that kind of thing to think about what makes the most sense. And it doesn't mean that every platform or every group is for you. And I think that's perfectly legitimate. Something I heard the other day too from Melanie Paget Powers, she did an episode on this that I just caught up on, was about, I think she culled her connections on LinkedIn. She went through and said, you know, I don't even know some of these people. I don't connect with them. Even though they're part of my network on LinkedIn, I just, you know, I'm not in touch with them. So she went through and she just removed a bunch of people that were not connected to her. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, I get a lot of connection requests every day. And one of the things I look for is if you tell me why you want to connect, like if we don't actually know each other.
Yeah.
Many people still don't do that. Right. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't know how you found me. Yes, we might have 56 connections in common, but I still don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I have to think about, like, do I want to grow my network with just anybody who sends me a request, mm-hmm. or do I want to do it in a way that makes sense for me? So I think that is really key to all of this. Okay, so what are some good strategies for connecting with new people online and creating new professional relationships? Well, there's one right there. Tell yes. people why you want to connect with them, right? Exactly. Tell people, let them know, hey, I found you from such and such, or so-and-so said I should get in touch with you because we have this in mm-hmm. common, or maybe it's a client, a potential client, or maybe it's somebody in a specific industry that you serve who's not maybe even a potential client, but you still want to connect with them. Say why, like say, you know, something, make a connection there in the sense of something in common that you have. I think that's a very good strategy.
Yeah.
Volunteering is another good strategy for growing your network. I've met so many amazing colleagues just from volunteering all the past, mm-hmm. you know, 12 plus years. So that's another really important thing to do. What do you think about some strategies, Veronica?
Yeah, I think the first one you mentioned is so crucial. I still see it a lot too, with connection requests, especially on LinkedIn. I think a kind word goes a long way, mm-hmm. and a personalized note goes a long way as well.
Yeah.
Just mention something. And I've seen some people add notes to their requests, but that you can tell they're so generic. Like, I see we have a lot in common. And mm-hmm. that could be true of any connection request.
Yeah. Right. So
mention something that you are, it makes it very clear to the person on the other end, you know, why you're wanting to connect, or mention something you're thankful for. Maybe they published an article, or maybe you met them at the conference or an event, you know, mention some reason that's very mm-hmm. clear and specific and sounds authentic, not generic, and respect people's time. You know, another thing that could happen is that you're connecting with someone, be it on LinkedIn or email, and it's a new connection, and you have a bunch of questions for this person. Well, mm-hmm. maybe it's not very wise to bombard them with all your questions right away. Try and develop their relationship first, and they might be willing to offer more time. Like, time is, you know, one of the things we're all short on. Mm-hmm. I personally really when it comes to utilizing my online network that has to do with clients and some specializations that I work in, I like connecting with colleagues or potential clients and, you know, saying an association. And mention mm-hmm. something, like you said, with a podcast, you know, with a client who writes segments for a podcast. Well, one of the associations that I'm a member of is the International Association for Business Communicators. They have mm-hmm. a podcast as well. And I listened to it. And if there's an episode I really liked, I would email the podcast host, who's also a member and who works as a business communicator in a company. And I would tell them, you know, why I liked the episode and how helpful it was, you know, like a short note that is a kind word, but it helps you establish that relationship with a colleague or a potential client or someone who can mention your name later on if someone is looking for help in a particular field. So that would be my main strategies or tips, I think, mm-hmm. to establishing new connections. But what about maintaining your existing network and leveraging it? What are some do's and don'ts there? I think what you mentioned earlier, too, is so important, just reconnecting regularly, touching base or checking in with a client or a colleague, and really, you know, not just being like, hi, but you know, using some kind of opportunity that is, again, authentic and not generic. Say hi if you attended the same event or if you are attending the same event, mm-hmm. Or if they shared a helpful article or a podcast, and maybe send a link their way that you think they might find interesting because you, for example, work in a similar field or have some other things in common. And again, respect people's time. I think I always have to remind myself of that too, because there are some people in our network, I think we all could say that, you know, you could just learn from you. There are so many questions and so many things you feel like you could learn from them, or maybe just touch base and follow up and see how things are doing, but it may not necessarily be the best time for them. Right. So I try to be very discreet while being friendly. So mm-hmm. it's sometimes a hard balance to strike. What are your thoughts on this, Madalena?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that's a very interesting point. And I don't know that you were going down this path, but it made me think of something that I heard Corinne McKay say once, and I thought it was so good. And she said she receives, you know, requests from people that they want to ask her questions about something, get her advice on a certain topic, or, you know, some people will say, I want to pick mm-hmm. your brain, right? And you may or may not know that person very well. And especially mm-hmm. if you don't, that can be kind of off-putting to somebody who is very busy. And I don't mean that like in a nasty way, but truly like you said, respect people's time. There are some cases where maybe it makes sense to pay that person for an hour to mm-hmm. ask all your questions and get like really professional advice on certain things that you know they know well. Or maybe it's just inviting them to a meal or coffee and say, hey, I'd love to talk to you about something and would like to buy you lunch. Sometimes people are open to that. Or, you know, if you're not local to them, for example, you might say, hey, I would love to talk to you more about this. Is there anything that I could do for you as well? Mm-hmm. You know, and give them some ideas. Don't leave the ideas up to them, because then you're actually giving that person work to try to think yes. of something. You know, those are the types of things that don't come across well either. But, you know, think about what you bring to the table too. What can mm-hmm. you offer in this particular instance? And there's something else, like we were saying earlier, is just to touch base with people and say, hey, I really appreciate that you did this. Or, hey, I really enjoyed that that I saw from you. Or I would love to know how you did this. And, you know, take a page out of your book type of thing. But sometimes you can learn from people without even creating that space with them to talk to them for, like, let's say an hour or something. Just observe them. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't help you to grow your network. So that's something else to think about. If it's a specific person, that's one way to go about it. But like Veronica, I mentioned earlier, you joined like a Facebook group or something like that specific yeah. to people who edit podcasts or something, you know, audio editing. That's a really good way to network and grow your network with other people in an area that's of interest to you without imposing on anybody or feel like you're imposing on anybody mm-hmm. because everybody's there for that reason, right? Yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of like when I talk to people, I'll use the example again of LinkedIn. When I talk to, you know, colleagues and my students in my courses about approaching clients on LinkedIn, and they say, well, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. And we're sort of getting into a question that's going to come up later in this episode, but it's essentially like everybody's on LinkedIn to do business. That's what it's for. Yeah. So if they don't want you to talk to them, they'll tell you, or they just won't answer, right. You know, don't worry about it. So,
right. Well, they'll answer when they have time.
Right.
Like it's not like it's a phone call, right?
Yeah. So I think those are some do's and don'ts. And there's one more don't that mm-hmm. I can think of that's related to that. And that is, asking somebody to give up some type of free time without making like another connection with them first, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If you contact somebody out of the blue, or even somebody you know but you haven't talked to in years, this yeah. happened to me recently, and ask them for their time to do something for you, it just doesn't come across very nicely. Even though you mm-hmm. may not mean anything negative by it, probably don't, right? Of course you don't. But it just, that's not a good way to keep your network, you know, consistent and strong, is to just ask people for things. There's always something that you can bring to the table, mm-hmm. And offer as well. Yeah. So that sort of goes into the next point that I was going to make, which is let's try to share some few final tips for those people who do feel nervous about connecting with new people for various reasons. And one of them that I mentioned was one I hear a lot, which is people say, well, I don't want to bother anybody, right? So maybe you find it difficult to step out of your comfort zone, or maybe you feel that you don't have much to bring to the table. Maybe you think, well, I don't have anything to offer. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? So one thing that I think is important is if you join like an online group, or you're just there to learn or something like that, what you can do is go back and look at previous threads that people have shared and see if you have anything substantial to add to the conversation. Even mm-hmm. if it's a week old, like, who cares, right? You can bring up something again. You can ask a question, and that might spark some conversation. You could share maybe an article or a video or something that you recently found that you think the group would find potentially useful. Mm-hmm. That is a way to contribute without going and, like, reaching out to just people randomly, which I know can be very unsettling for a lot of people. Yeah. So that's a tip that I would have, is to say, you know, think about what the goal of the group is, exactly. if it's a group, right? If it's a group, and see what you could offer. I think that's important to consider. What do you think?
Yeah, something similar, and just, you know, it's really important to remind yourself that we all have something valuable to offer mm-hmm. that comes from our past experiences and our background, our culture, mm-hmm. you know, just our opinions and so on. And it can be, I feel like sometimes we overcomplicate things, because it can be something as simple as, if you read an article in a professional magazine, or in your, say, if you're an ATA member like us, you know, if you belong mm-hmm. to a division and you saw an article in a division newsletter, or if it's a professional magazine related to your specialization, you liked somebody's article, send them a short note by LinkedIn or by email, just with a kind word, you know, kind words, compliment. I really enjoyed this article for whatever reason. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a letter, right? Mm-hmm. Just a short note. And if it's in a group setting, an online group, keep in mind what connects you to all these people. It's probably something you all have in common, if it's a specific group, maybe to related to a niche in translation mm-hmm. or interpreting, right? Or a language combination. So think of that. And there's always something you can share that's in the news, or something you read, or something somebody wrote recently, or an offer to help or connect mm-hmm. In any way. So try and not overcomplicate things, though I know it can be difficult. But it's important to remember that we're online, you know, there's a lot that happens online. Mm-hmm. It's best to be brief, but polite. So, yeah, those would be my tips.
Cool.
All right. We hope that you found these tips useful. Please let us know how you go about growing your online network and what strategies work for you, or maybe what you're struggling with. You can leave a comment on the show notes page for this episode, which you'll find on our website, or you can tag us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, or you can email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. I also just remembered a couple of resources we can link that are webinars related to networking. So we can link those in the show notes as well.
Great. Yes.
And before we wrap up, let's do a smart habit check-in and share what tool, gadget, or resource we're enjoying lately.
Great. Perfect.
So let's start with you, Madalena.
Yeah. So smart habit-wise, okay, it's a new year. So I'm really working on time management. So that's not necessarily a habit. But one of the habits that I am trying to continue, which I started last year, but it was sort of hit or miss for a while, is not looking at my email first thing in the morning, which I know I've talked about before. And that kind of piggybacks onto our previous episode on your email inbox, if you heard that one. And if you haven't, it's there. Go back and listen to episode 57. And that is to just do something each morning that is either just for me, or is something I really want to get done that day, either way, but not to let, you know, something that is laying, you know, sitting in my inbox take over my time and my day, right? Because these things can go unravel pretty quickly. So that's something I'm going to continue to work on. I think that is a smart habit for life, but that's what I'm doing. And let's see, what's on my desk? Well, I have a new calendar that I just love. It's was created by a California artist who does these beautiful artistic prints. She actually creates the prints and then she, you know, turns them into ones that are, I guess, or they're paintings, really. She turns the paintings into prints, I should say. And this calendar is for this year. It's a paper calendar. It sits on a cute little easel on my desk. And the reason I like it so much, not only because of her prints, which you can then take a day and frame later, the prints, which I think is really cool if you like a specific one. But because I really like to see a paper calendar. And it reminded me of a tip that Dorothée Rossette shared with us. She was a guest on a previous episode too, which we can link to. And she said it's important to have like a clock on your desk or, you know, nearby that's, you know, analog time. So analog. And it's similar to me, for me, with the paper calendar, because we can all lose track of time very easily. And the same thing with days. I know that last year specifically, especially toward the end of the year, I couldn't believe that it was getting to be so late in a specific month, especially November, December. And for me to look at the calendar on my desk and go, okay, I have 2 more weeks in this month for such, you know, like either to meet an income goal or to make that meeting happen or to turn in such and such or to come up with this new idea or whatever versus, oh, today's the 13th. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like today's the 27th and like, oh my gosh, I have 3 days left in the month. That kind of thing. I like to see visually a block of time and how much is left of it, you know? So that's what's on my desk. It's not a gadget, let's say, for this time. What about you?
It's amazing how much we're on the same wavelength because I was literally thinking about the same tip from Dorothée when I was getting ready for this episode about like her talking about the importance of having an analog clock in your office or in your workspace. Yeah. And I recently had a conversation with a colleague about the pros and cons of paper versus digital calendars and planners. And we're all different, of course, but I just feel more grounded and I feel more present when I have paper in front of me, you know, paper or analog clock. It's just like you said, too, you feel more in control and more kind of aware of the time and the date and the time and space you're in. And just we have so much digital everything going on. I feel like it's really helpful to have some old fashioned resources at our disposal. All right. So my smart habit progress is for the year or for this month, I'm trying to find 20 minutes every day for to sort of feed my creative self and to have an outlet for some kind of creative energy or do something that will give me inspiration. And it can be different things every day, but it has to be something creative. So either writing for 20 minutes or, you know, maybe doing some coloring or painting with my kids, maybe listening to some music. I really like doing lettering. So I have these lettering journals where you just trace or write letters. Kind of like not quite calligraphy, but similar. And so I find that that's it's really helpful to do these things, both to remind yourself what you enjoy, to have some time off from other things in your life and just give yourself some creativity in the day-to-day. And my resource or tool for today is yet another one line a day journal. I've shared in the past that I have one for each kid. And I recently found a different one that I decided to keep for myself. It's a one line a day journal that doesn't have like any specific theme, but I just really like how it looks. It's nice, it's small and sturdy. And it's a 5 year, it's called a 5 year memory book. And I think it can be overwhelming thinking like, oh my gosh, am I going to keep a 5 year journal? No, you just literally have enough space for like one line a day. You know, what summarizes the day for you? What was a nice thing that happened? And I thought, you know what? I've been doing it for a few years now for my kids. I deserve one. I want to see how these things, you know, progress. And sometimes I find, especially looking at my kids' journals, you may have had a really fun day or a really difficult day with your child. And then you look back at it like a couple of years later, you know, because these pages are organized in a way that you see the previous years that you wrote for a specific date. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it seemed like such a big deal back then, but it's nothing. So that's really helpful to keep that perspective. So I'm really excited about this one line a day journal for myself, and I'll, you know, work on making this a habit this year.
I have one of those that I stopped using, but I want to get back to it. It's actually 10 years. A friend of mine in Germany sent it to me. It's a beautiful book. Oh, it's beautiful. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't take much each day to do it. I need to get back to that. It
just takes a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it for this episode. We have so much in store for you this year with so many fun episodes and wonderful guests coming up soon. We'll also continue to hold our quarterly virtual business retreats. So if you'd like to work together with us and a friendly group of colleagues and tackle some challenges and goals in your business, check out our website for details and to register. Our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode as usual, including the links to all the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving our emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you like this episode, there are a couple of simple ways you can show your support. Please share it with your colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This only takes a minute and we recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.